You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hello, hello. Welcome back. Welcome back, dear viewer, dear listener. Welcome to another episode. I know a lot of people often think how great it would be to make that leap to becoming self-employed. But for a lot of people, that can be quite a daunting task, quite scary. How do you start? What are all the pitfalls? How do you make a success of it? You are in for a treat, because today I have got a friend of mine who has done exactly that. My guest today is Tony Edwards. He's based in Winchester in the UK. He's the owner of BitSmart Technology Limited, which is a business that was started during the COVID-19 panic. So what a time to start a business, right? So many people did. And Tony is one of those, started his business in the COVID-19 pandemic. He provides IT support and services for one-man bands all the way up to large businesses. That's my guest, Tony, today. Hey, Tony, how are you doing?
Keith, I'm really well, thank you. And thank you for inviting me onto your show.
No, my absolute pleasure. We've Tony and I have known each other for a few years now, mainly through networking and so on. And I've been following Tony's journey from being in full employment through to starting his business, through to being self-employed. And that's why I was delighted when Tony agreed to be a guest on the show. We've heard your bio. We've heard a little bit about you, but before we dive in any further, who is Tony?
I am as you said, I'm based in Winchester, right down on the south coast. So we are literally poles apart in the UK.
Oh, we certainly are.
I've lived in and around the area my whole life. I'm not quite 40, but I'm not far off. Married, two kids. And yeah, pre-COVID, I was in a fully employed role, which I really, really liked. Fell out of love with it, really. And then COVID happened, and here we are now.
Here we are indeed. And that's the journey that we're gonna explore in a little bit more detail. So I guess let's start at the beginning. What was it that you used to do when you were in full-time employment?
So my pre-COVID, I was head of IT for a procurement franchise. So big franchise group, about 120, 130 people. And they provided procurement services to other businesses. Oh. And I, yeah, looked after the IT for that company.
Nice. How long have you been there?
So I was there for just over 6 years.
Okay.
So a fair time.
You
worked myself up from being an admin all the way up to the head of the department in that time.
Got it. Okay. So a lot of progress during that time. I was going to ask, how did you get into IT? Was that something you always did? You were always interested in? Did you kind of fall into it? How did that come about?
I always had a passing interest when I was younger. I remember getting my first computer, which was an Amiga 500 Plus. My younger brothers were interested in playing Lemmings and that sort of thing, and I was there more interested in finding out what it could do. Then went on to college to study OT. Funny that. Applied to university at 18, decided I didn't actually want to go. So I took a gap year, which ended up being 7 or 8 gap years, before actually going back.
And then how do you end up working in IT?
So the degree I studied was business management with IT. Mm-hmm. That gave me, again, a good base knowledge. It brought my knowledge up to date, because obviously there was 8 years where I wasn't doing much IT at all.
It is a fast changing industry, isn't it?
Yeah. And I must have applied when I finished university. I was selling mobile phones for a living, so I worked full time. Even when I was doing full time university, I was doing 40, 50 hours
Alert
a week
from
work.
Calendar. LLC.
And, so 40, 50 hours of work and full time university. My wife or girlfriend at the time was an absolute rock. You know, she was working nights so I could study, and then I would then go to university or work in the day, depending on the schedule. I must have applied for about 3,000 jobs once I left university, and the first IT role I got was a web admin and essentially an office manager, but a dual role for a tile company in the New Forest. And that was my first foray. And then I got this role with the procurement company. Mm-hmm. And the rest, as I say, is kind of history.
Yeah, indeed. So you built your way up to head of IT with that procurement company. At what point did the thought that self-employment might be an option? At what point did that kind of crop up, or had it always been there?
I think in the back of my mind it had always been there. Mm-hmm. I just never really had the guts to go and do it. Mm. I'm quite an introvert person. Most IT people are. You know, we hate talking to other people, especially if we haven't met them before.
Yes.
So much so, I was at an event in Oxford on Tuesday. Probably about 150 people in the room. I knew about six. I spoke to those six people three or four times during the day. I then had a smattering of hellos and things like that. But yeah, I stuck myself to myself because of the way most technology people are. We're big introverts.
Yeah, I mean, there is that stereotype around IT about how everyone's introvert and doesn't like mixing with people. And there's a reason it's a stereotype. I was in IT for many years as well, and I can confirm there is a reason for that stereotype. It's true. And let's face it, it's nice and comfortable when you're working with computers and you don't have to keep mixing with people.
But yeah, that itch of working for myself, I think, had been there for a long time. And 2018, we had a annual conference at work, and our keynote speaker for that day was a certain Mr. Burton.
Ah, right, Burton.
Who... Yeah, using his Manchester Salford style, his talk resonated with me quite a bit, and I thought nothing of it afterwards. Mm. I was just like, okay, cool. I was doing the sound and AV for the day, so I got to meet him a little bit beforehand, and we exchanged a few pleasantries. Mm-hmm. But yeah, after that, I didn't really think anything of it. I was like, okay, that's quite interesting. But then two, three, maybe even 4 months later, I was at a franchise exhibition. We were there trying to sell franchises. And he was doing another talk. He popped by the stand and said hello. And I didn't even have to move off the stand to listen to him do his talk, because it was literally on the stage next to us. So I was just stood there listening to him. For that, I met Pippa for the first time, and we had a bit of a chat. So, and again, the talk resonated with me, and I was like, maybe there's something here. Maybe I am missing something. Mm. So I connected with Brad a bit more through social, had a bit more, another couple of conversations. We then met a third time at a business show down in Hampshire, where again he was delivering a talk. I met Ian Dixon.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we had a conversation. I got invited to Ian's big 100 event, which was that weekend. And between then, that chance meeting in that Hampshire business show and that big 100 event, I had a conversation with the wife, and she's like, "You always want to do it. Why don't you actually explore it?" So it then took me a further year to explore it and decide that I actually wanted to do it and what I wanted to do. I then kind of hit the go button. November 19, the company was registered.
Mm-hmm.
And we signed our first customer on Christmas Eve that year.
Wow. Yeah, now that's a way to celebrate Christmas.
At this time, I was still, like I said, in full-time employment. I hadn't made the leap.
Mm-hmm.
I was in, you know, a fairly well-paid job. Couldn't afford just to step away completely, so the plan was to do it as a bit of a side hustle to start with a view to moving out within 2020. And then COVID happened.
Yes. Yes, it kind of knocked everybody's plans for six, that. So you'd...
Yeah, it did. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So you just to recap, you self-employment is something that had always been kind of at the back of your mind. It would be nice to do. You then went the traditional route, full-time employment for another company, for an employer. You met Brad Burton. Some of our listeners will recall we've had Brad on as a guest on a couple of episodes. Check those out later on to find out more about what he's about. So you met Brad a couple of times. You met Pippa, his right-hand woman. And you met Ian Dixon, who's we've also had as a guest. Check his episode out earlier from this year. And it wasn't a one-off thing, but it was kind of building up and hearing the same sort of messages two or three times and going, well, maybe, until eventually it reached the point where you, with the support from these people and crucially the support from your wife, saying, well, you've always wanted to do this, why don't you go for it? And that was the point at which you went, yeah, let's do this. And like many people, you had the high paid job, so you couldn't just afford to walk from that. So you set it up as a part-time side business.
Yeah.
What did your employers have to say to this? I mean, was it in competition with them, or were they not bothered, or how did you handle that side of it?
Technically there was a conflict.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm being brutally honest. However, they had a target market and I had a target market, and there was a financial divide in the markets. So while there was, you know, a conflict, I wasn't particularly going after the size of organizations that they were.
Right. Okay. Got it. So although you were both doing the same thing, you were doing it for different markets, different sizes of companies. So you weren't going to be battling over the same potential clients.
Correct. And my services, again, they are, some of them they do, some of them mm-hmm. they don't. So yeah, there was a, it was it, in my mind, it was never an issue. Mm-hmm. In their mind, they didn't know about it at the time.
That was going to be my next question. Did you discuss it with them, or did you just go ahead and do it?
No, like I said, the plan always was initially to just do it evenings, weekends.
Yeah.
Try and, you know, build it up a little bit and then walk away.
Okay.
But then,
then COVID came. Yeah. So how did that affect things, both the employed side and the self-employed side?
This is going to sound really odd, because let's face it, COVID was devastating to anybody who's had it, anybody that's lost somebody from it. But for me, it was great. I got furloughed, which meant I was still getting some form of payment for the time pre being made redundant, which meant that I didn't have to worry about the rent. I didn't have to worry about food. My wife was still working throughout all of that time. She was a key worker at the time. So we weren't, you know, we were a little worse off than we would have been normally, but it wasn't too bad. And because I was furloughed, I couldn't work for them, but I could go and work for anybody else.
Right.
So I put all of that time that I would normally be sat doing stuff for them on the business and building and trying to build that. mm-hmm. get my name known, go networking more.
Got it. So the
if it wasn't for all of that networking, the business wouldn't be where it is today.
Yeah, absolutely. Networking is, and that's a thing I've heard time and time again from so many people. Networking really is what helps you building any sort of business. That is absolutely true. So if it hadn't been for COVID, you wouldn't have had all that extra time to network. Do you think your business would ever have taken off, or would it always have just remained a side hustle? Or, well, what do you think the impact might have been?
I think it would have got there eventually. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is because once I was made redundant from that job, I've done anything. I will do anything it takes to make sure that the business is sustainable. Yeah. So I was working. So from September to December 2020, I was working on the business 5-6 days a week. I was also working 3 nights a week for a supermarket stacking shelves, mm-hmm. just to make sure again we could pay the bills.
Yep.
I then was offered a training opportunity from a client. I would go and deliver digital skills training to typically older people that have no digital skills. That was a full-time job. I did that while running the business evenings and weekends for up until literally May this year.
Okay.
May this year is when I fully moved into the business full-time.
Got it.
And I still do some of the training. Mm-hmm. I do that 1 or 2 days a week, but again, that's on a contractual basis now. So it works out. Works good for me. It works good for them.
Yeah, I get it. So you got there was redundancy from the previous company, the company that you'd been with. And you, as all good entrepreneurs and business owners do, you did what it took to make things work. And that included getting your part-time job stacking shelves. And were you full-time employed by the training company, or was it more of a contract basis, or what was the?
It was initially going to be a 12-month fixed term. Mm-hmm. It then got extended a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And yeah, now it's more of a 1 or 2 days a week, and I'll go and deliver some training to these people. They have 6 or 7 sessions each person.
Yeah.
Learning things from literally how to turn a device on through to how to send an email, how to do online shopping, some basic cybersecurity, finishing off. It's for a housing association, so I give them some training on the housing association web portals and things like that as well.
I get you. Nice. So what had to happen to let you feel comfortable with going, you know what, that's it, I am now full-time self-employed? What kind of was the final thing that had to happen that let you make that step and let go of the all the other sources of income, etc.?
Because that training contract was supposed to be a fixed term contract, I was always had it always in my mind's eye that there was definitive end date. And by that day, I needed to either be ready to go and find something else or be able to go into the business full time. So I always had that target or goal in mind. I knew how much approximately I needed to be earning a month to be able to pay myself. Mm-hmm. And as long as the business was earning that plus any outgoings, I'd be all right. Gosh. So that was my target. As luck would have it, I got a referral through our networking group, mm-hmm. That we're both members of, which was for quite a substantial client, and that's going live pretty much as we speak, which means that the business is now able to sustain me and start have money in the bank account so I can then invest in anything else I need.
Nice. So basically all the connections that you were making through that networking, which you've been doing for quite some time, paid off. Plus you knew the figures that you knew the turnover and the income that your company needed to create in order to make this happen, and you had the deadline of, I've got this fixed contract, by that date it's either we do the company or I go back into full-term employment. So you kind of had a deadline, and you knew the figures you had to make, so you had something to aim for, and then the networking paid off, and through that you got connections which really helped you to establish some good connections and good leads and good business.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
There you go. Yeah, listener, that's all there is to it. So what I'm picking up from there is that there's not just one thing that happens. You don't just sort of one day wake up and go, you know what, I'm going to be self-employed. Has it been something that you're good at, something you enjoy? The self-employed aspect is something that's kind of been at the back of your mind for many, many years. And it's all about laying the groundwork, building things up slowly, having your targets, knowing the steps you need to make, the knowing your numbers. What do I need to make by when in order for this to happen? And then putting in the legwork, not just in your expertise, but also in building those connections that enable you to get out there and get better known.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love it.
Yeah, like I said earlier, you know, networking, probably 90% of my work has come through a networking connection.
Yeah.
And what's nice now is I've been doing lots of background work on my website and trying to improve the local element, because I've got customers that are, you know, Midlands, Bristol, London, and all these different places, but I don't really have many, or if at all any, in my local town.
Oh, right. Okay.
There are four or five other IT companies within the Winchester
area.
Perimeter.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't really have many Winchester-based clients, and it would be nice to have a few. And now I'm starting to see a little bit of traction locally as well, which is nice.
Brilliant. So what's next? What's next for BitSmart Technology?
More of what we're doing now. Now I'm going to be focusing a lot more on making sure that all of my customers are as secure as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm talking making sure they've all got the right managed antivirus, they're all using multi-factor authentication and password managers and those sorts of things, which are not hard to implement, but the education element is something you've got to get your head around. And you know, doing those basic things can protect on so many different levels, and it's not expensive. And basically work with my clients to get them to a level where if they wanted to go and get their Cyber Essential certification, or maybe an ISO 27001 certification, so they can be eligible for public sector or government type contracts.
Right.
If I can get them to a place where they're able to then, if they want to do that, they can just go and do it, then that's the plan for the next 12 months.
Nice. Good luck with all of that, and I have no doubt you will make massive achievements in that area. I mean, I've seen what you've been doing over the years that we've known each other, and I have absolutely no doubts that you'll succeed massively there because of the value that you bring to your customers and your clients. Question: what is one thing which you wish you'd known before setting out on the self-employment journey? Or what's one piece of advice you wish you'd been given when you were first setting out on that route?
This is a difficult one.
this is a difficult
question for me. Because I studied, like I said, business at university. That was the major element of the degree. It was business with IT. And the 6 years in the procurement business, We were essentially teaching people how to run a business in that, how to run a franchise in that business.
Yeah.
So I'm used to kind of giving advice. I think the one thing that surprised me most is how long it's actually taken to get to where I am now.
Yeah.
But then I think back, 2 years ago, we were all sat in our gardens drinking lager and eating barbecues because it was a heat wave.
Yeah.
But we were all essentially locked down.
Mm.
So, the progress I have made has been, it's been fantastic. But I think if I had to give one piece of advice, it'd be to make sure you know what your numbers are.
Nice, yeah.
Because without knowing what your numbers are, you don't know if you can reinvest in new equipment or make sure you can pay your staff. I've spoken to so many different people over the last 6 months that just don't know their numbers. They don't know how much profit they've made in the last 6 months. They don't know how much turnover they've made in the last week.
Mm.
Having a firm understanding of your numbers is really, really important. Making sure you've got, if you can't do it yourself, find a bookkeeper.
Yeah.
Or get your wife trained up as a bookkeeper, which is what I've done.
One way to do it.
because while I know what my numbers are, I'm terrible at invoicing.
Yeah.
I take forever to send invoices out. That's why I got her to trained up, and now she does it for me. On the first couple of days of every month, the invoices go out.
Brilliant. And, so basically...
I know the numbers, but she does the labor.
Yeah. So basically, know your numbers, because without knowing your numbers, well, you don't really have a business, do you? You're just kind of playing at it. So know your numbers. And if there's an area that you don't particularly enjoy doing, bring somebody in to do that so you can focus on the bits that you are good at. Because otherwise, those bits won't get done. And again, you ultimately won't have a business. Awesome. I've learned quite a few things from this, Tony. Thank you. Excuse me, thank you so much for taking some time out to share this, to share your journey. And I know,
welcome, like I said, thank you for inviting me on.
Oh, my pleasure. And I know there are going to be people who are going to want to check you out, find out a bit more about you, maybe even get in touch. What's the best way for them to do that?
So I am on social media under various different platforms, but probably the quickest and easiest way is to go to my website, which is bitsmart.tech, and I believe you're going to pop that in the show notes as well, Keith.
Absolutely, yes. So bitsmart.tech is Tony's main website. As Tony says, he's all over the socials, as you'd expect from somebody as tech savvy as Tony, and I'll have the links to all of his social profiles in the show notes as well. As always, you'll find them at keithblakemorenoble.com/show. Look for the one with Tony Edwards, or just go directly to his site, bitsmart.tech. Tony, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure having you on. I know we could talk for ages. In fact, I know you and I are now just going to sneak off and we're going to record some bonus material for my Patreon. So if you're a Patreon, now you've listened to this episode, go and find the Patreon bonus where we're going to be discussing some IT stories and horror stories, and it's all going to be good fun. But in the meantime, thank you so much for watching or listening wherever you've caught this, however you've caught it. I hope you've enjoyed it. Remember to give us a like, a subscribe, to comment, and share it with your friends. And we'll catch you in another episode very soon. Until then, take care, look after yourself, and remember, when you master your mindset, you master your life. Bye for now.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. To find out more, please visit keithblakemorenoble.com.